You're about to hear the only advertising program on BBC. It's the story of happy people in a happy firm with happy work and happy problems.
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about, it's something to shout about and cry out loud. It's new.
It's heartwarming.
It's non-habit for me. We can really guarantee it's something, something to shout about.
We've been carrying out exhaustive tests to try and discover why people prefer something to shout about. And in the studio tonight is an ordinary housewife. Good evening. You are an ordinary housewife, aren't you?
Oh, yes, indeed. I have an ordinary husband, ordinary children. We live in an ordinary mansion with an ordinary Rolls Royce, an ordinary flat on the Riviera, and an ordinary yacht.
And you definitely prefer something to shout about to any other radio program?
Oh, yes, it's so ordinary. But you know, but seriously, it's my husband's favourite programme.
And what is your name?
Mrs. Medwin.
Yes. It's something to shout about. And Michael Medwin, with Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding and Joan Sims, and a cast of several, bring you a light-hearted exposé of the advertising world.
Michael, stop it. Stop squirting that stuff on me.
What's wrong with it? It's got a very pleasant smell. Lovely. Smells like Covent Garden in the early morning.
Which part?
Oh, come on, Adrian. How about a little on your moustache?
Thank you, but my moustache is quite happy as it is. It wouldn't like being smothered in the new mythical hairdressing.
Oh, but this is man spray. It's more than just a hairdressing. It prevents dandruff and provides the hair with regular nourishment.
My moustache never has had dandruff. And what's more, it gets regular nourishment 3 times a day.
Yes, so I've noticed
it. Michael, we're supposed to be discussing man spray, not my moustache. How are we going to persuade people to buy it? What's its big selling point?
Well, it's got several. Now, where's that report? Well, this is what the makers say. Man spray is the spray-on hairdressing for men. It imparts a luster and high gloss. Not only does it provide perfect grooming, but also it stops falling hair.
Oh, nonsense, old boy. There's only one thing to stop falling hair, and that's the floor.
Well, not according to this leaflet. Listen. Hair falls out because the roots are not getting the 17.5 amino acids essential to their growth. These and many other vital foods are contained in man spray. Man spray will help you keep your hair on.
Oh, I see.
But how are we going to advertise it?
Well, what we need is some big celebrity to endorse it. A film star with nice, healthy hair.
I know. What about Lassie?
No, I don't think so. It's the wrong sex. We ought to pick someone who looks very tough and masculine.
Then how about Brick Stanton?
Brick Stanton? Do you mean Hollywood's Mr. Beefcake? The old muscle man himself?
Yes, he's just arrived in London to make a new picture. It's called The Son of Goliath and Salome.
Goliath and Salome? I didn't know they'd ever met.
Well, I don't think they actually met, but if she'd been born earlier and he'd been born later, in the same place, the chances are they'd have had the biggest romance of all time.
Yes, but to come back to Manspray, old boy, I don't think Brick Stanton's the right man to endorse it. I'm sure Maggie will agree with me.
Of course she won't.
Well, we'll soon find out. Where is she?
She went off to chase Janet and Mavis out of the ladies' restroom. They've been there since 10 o'clock.
All that time? What are they doing?
Washing.
For over 2 hours?
Well, they bring in quite a lot of laundry.
Mavis, don't you think you're taking rather a liberty, washing those stockings in the firm's time with the firm's hot water and the firm's soap?
Well, why not? They're the firm's stockings. They accidentally fell into my drawer after that nylon ad. Here, Jan, did you see in the paper about Brick Stanton? There was a picture of him flying into London Airport.
What, all by himself?
Oh, no, he had his manager with him. Oh, I think he's the most. Oh, those muscles.
Yeah. Oh. Gorgeous. See, nothing like them. Oh, yes, I have. I once saw Maggie in short sleeves.
Jim, they say he's over here to make a new film. It's called The Son of Goliath and Salami.
And which part is Mr. Beefcake playing?
Janet, Mavis, you're supposed to be at the Manspray conference.
Oh, well, in a minute, Maggie. I'm just redoing my face.
Yes, I see your problem. It's no good. No good fighting against Mother Nature, is it? You just have to take it on the chin.
Now, stand clear, darling. It's nothing personal, but I'm just going to wet my mascara.
Oh, good shot.
Well, at least I can say that everything on my face belongs to me.
Oh, never mind. It's a kind face.
Honestly, you too. You do enjoy a cozy heart-to-heart, don't you?
Now, come along, Mavis. They want you to take notes at the Manspray conference. And in future, don't let me catch you doing your smalls during office hours.
Well, I'm going on holiday next week, and I do like to start off with everything clean. I mean, supposing there was an accident.
Look here, my girl, if the directors knew you spend hours in here doing your laundry, you know what they'd do.
Install a washing machine.
So we're all agreed, huh? We suggest to the makers of Manspray that we make a series of TV commercials advertising their product.
That's
yes,
it.
I think that's about it.
Right, now point number two, we arrange to have Brick Stanton endorse it.
Oh, is he going to be in Dorset? Well, that's where I'm going for my holidays.
Is it? Well, I wish you were there. Now, Mavis, you just take notes. Now, my suggestion was...
Michael, before we go any further, I want you to know that I'm not making any commercials with Brick Stanton. You can't have a sophisticated product like Manspray advertised by a great lump of anthropoid nothingness.
Why not? He's got a healthy head of hair.
Well, you certainly need something when you haven't got a forehead. You can't tell where his hair begins and his eyebrows end.
Oh, look here.
No, Maggie's right.
But Brick Stanton's just the man for the job. His torso is known and loved on both sides of the Atlantic. His biceps are a household word.
Yes, but we don't use those kind of words in my household. We prefer Donald Duck.
But you know, my gran thinks he's super. I'll never forget taking her to his last film. It was in that stereophony sound. Do you know, poor old gran, her ear trumpet was whirling round like a radar screen.
Really, this product's called Manspray, not Gran Spray. Now, Michael, I think Brink Standard is entirely the wrong man for this job. We must have somebody more dignified.
Now, I'm sure we can't fail with Brick Stanton.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. The man's an absolute moron.
A moron? Oh, nothing of the sort. He may have four wives, but not all together. Unless, of course, there was a misprint.
Eh?
Well, you see, I'm reading his life story in a magazine coloured with pictures.
Oh, Michael, I've got it. I've got it.
Got what?
Eugene Campari.
Oh, is it catching?
No, dear. Eugene Campari is a famous concert pianist. He's cultured, dignified, and just the right person to endorse Manspray.
Yes, I think it's a wonderful idea. He's very well known.
He's always on TV.
Yes, I saw him the other night. He played the whole Grieg piano concerto in 4 minutes flat.
Yes, very flat. No, I'm sorry, Mackie, but he'd be no good. Manspray will be endorsed by Brick Stanton.
Eugene Campari.
Brick Stanton.
Eugene Campari.
Brick Stanton.
Eugene Campari.
Campari Stanton.
Brick Campari.
Eugene Campari.
Brick Stanton.
Have you two finished, or would you like to go for the decider?
Well, I don't know about keeping notes. It's more like keeping score.
I thought you might like some coffee. Oh, seems to be a bit of an atmosphere.
Well, it's not me.
Not me either.
It must be the Manspray. Well, who's for a little refreshment?
Yes, thanks very
much. Nice sugar, Maggie?
No, thanks, Adrian. I have to watch my figure.
Don't know why you bother. Nobody else does.
Now, don't you start. I've had enough trouble with Michael.
All this fuss just because I want the Manspray ads to be endorsed by Brick Stanton.
I think he's rather a dish. I go for men with big muscles.
Yes, he is a bit lumpy. Quite the world's worst actor.
Are you mad? He's been in two epics and in his time about 50 Tarzan films. Wonderful acting parts.
Yes, he prances around half-naked up a tree, saying, "Oh, oh, oh, me Tarzan, big shot of jungle. Branches everywhere."
There's absolutely no doubt that Eugene Campari will give our advertisement more dignity.
But he's such a square.
Nothing of the sort. He's pear-shaped, if anything.
Well, if he isn't a square, why doesn't he wear sequins on his dinner jacket like all the other pianists?
Oh, look here, we've got to make a decision.
Brick Stanton.
Eugene Campari.
Now, don't start that again.
No more arguments. I'm for Brick Stanton. Unless Mavis and Janet have any other ideas.
Mavis and Janet only ever have one idea, and that's been in circulation since the dawn of time.
Well, you ought to know, darling, so have you.
I've had enough. I've had nothing but insults from you and your secretary. I'm a senior member here. I have to make the television commercial, and I decide who's going to be in it.
No, we're not having that broken-down pianist with two left hands and flat feet.
Well, at least he's better than that film star of yours. What's he? A gorilla who studied the method. Campari is a genius.
I could play the piano better with one hand in a boxing glove and the other behind my back and the lid closed.
You couldn't play a gramophone record without a book of instructions in front of you. I'm not going to be bullied like this. If anyone wants me, I'll be in the ladies' restroom, and I shall stay there until you send Janet with an apology.
Darling, don't stay there too long. It's nearly time for your superannuation.
Well, Well, I hope she doesn't lock the door. I've got to get my clean smalls out for my holidays.
Darling, now we're alone together, I must give you some advice. Darling, are you listening?
Janet, have you ever thought of going on a diet?
Heavens no, why?
Well, I think you should. My left knee has gone to sleep.
Well, I'll move on to the other one. Now, as I was saying, you mustn't let Maggie ride roughshod over all your ideas. Stand up for yourself.
I can't at the moment. You'd fall onto the floor. But, Janet, it's Maggie's job to film the TV commercial.
She's just being over-conscientious. It's probably her age.
Well, I'm sure she won't be making a mistake with Brick Stanton.
She'd probably love the chance. But, darling... Now, darling, come on. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm fed up with shouting to Maggie through the keyhole of the ladies' restroom. The lift man keeps giving me such funny looks.
Then why don't you sign up Brick Stanton yourself? You must learn to make your own decisions. After all, you're a grown man.
But, darling, I think you're right. I shall contact them myself.
Well, you better take them to lunch. After all, it'll be on expenses.
Yeah. Book a table for three at the Westlake. I expect his business manager will want to come along as well.
I'll fix everything. Are you sure the Westlake's the best place?
Of course. They know me there.
That's what I mean.
Oh, darling, there's just one other thing. I should feel terribly guilty about gorging myself on caviar, smoked salmon, fillet steak, crepe Suzette without you, and I have a little thing here I won't be needing. I'd like you to accept it.
Oh, darling, what is it?
My luncheon voucher for 2 and 3.
Do you like the table, Mr. Lightfoot?
Yes, thank you, Louis. It's absolutely fine. Lovely. Only, you see, it's rather a special business lunch.
Ah, expenses, eh?
Yes. And when we finish, slap a fiver on the bill, then I can bring Janet in for a free dinner tomorrow.
I diddle diddle, say orangey fiddle.
Oh, look, my friends are just coming in now.
Oh, Americans. I go get the ketchup and ice water.
All right, Brick. So you signed 12 autograph books. You didn't spell your name right in any one of them. Mr. Lightfoot?
Yes, Oscar Dimitrov.
That's right, business and exploitation manager at the Brick Stanton. This is, of course, Brick.
How do you do?
Yeah.
Well, shake hands, you slob.
Sure.
No! I say...
Hey, that's enough, Brick, let go!
Well, do sit down, gentlemen. Louis, I think we'll order.
Menu, monsieur?
Thanks.
Other way up, Brick.
I'll have table d'hote, medium rare.
I think that's off. The steak's very good here, there.
Waiter.
Hey, monsieur.
3 large T-bone steaks.
Now, Mr. Lightfoot, what'll you and I have?
He's not going to have 3 steaks alone.
No, he's going to have 3 portions of French fried with him. Waiter, steak for me, just the one.
Me too.
Well, Mr. Lightfoot, what do you think of my boy?
Well, he's got a big frame, hasn't he? By the way, is he going to keep on his hat and dark glasses all the way through lunch?
It's to stop him being mobbed, you see. He's so easily recognized. I used to have him go round a leopard skin, but it got to be kind of conspicuous.
Yes, I suppose it would be with a trilby hat and dark glasses.
Still... As we're indoors, Brick, take off the glasses. Keep on the hat.
Oh?
The glasses are the things on your nose.
Oh, yeah.
Now then, Mr. Dimitrov, to come down to business, how do you feel about Brick giving us an endorsement for the Manspray hairdressing?
Well, since your phone call, I've been thinking about it. I presume in the adverts you just want to feature his head.
Yes.
Good, because the rest of him is all sewn up.
Why? Was he coming apart?
You don't understand. You see, every part of his torso is already used to advertise different products, exclusive. His teeth belong to American Dentifrice, Inc.
Really? I could have sworn they were his own.
Well, they are. No, I mean for endorsing toothpaste. His chest from the neck to the waist belongs to Lumberjack Sweaters, Inc. From the waist to the knee belongs to the Brooklyn Football Shorts Company. His arms and hands to Premier Boxing Gloves. And his left leg from the knee down, just the one, belongs to Manhattan City Socks. Mind you, nobody's used his right leg as yet.
I expect he likes to use it himself sometimes. What about the small of his back?
Yeah, well, we got a notice on that. Watch this space. To get down to cases, Mr. Lightfoot, I'm in a position to offer you the bottom half of his right leg or his head.
Well, I just want the head, thank you. You're sure it's vacant? I mean, available.
Well, sure, that bit don't belong to no one.
Don't it even belong to me?
Listen here, Buster. When you learn to read, try reading your contract. The only bit of you that's legally yours is your toenails.
Well, then, if everything's all right with you, I'll get our contract department to get in touch with you regarding the fees. Won't be much of a chore. The studio's quite near your hotel.
And there'll be just the usual 15-second commercial films?
Yes. But I hope Brick will be able to manage the dialogue.
Well, sure, he's just a little shy today. Normally, he's just positively scintillating with witty repartee.
Yeah.
Go on, Brick. You say something that should make the gentleman laugh.
Feathers and itchy vests.
Quite the Oscar Wilde, isn't he?
Feathers and itchy vests would make Oscar Wilde. Yeah. Oscar Wilde.
Yes, it's a hit. I told you. He's great. He's just great. That kid's going to be all right.
A complete lack of cooperation. Fancy signing up Brick Stanton behind my back.
Oh, Miss Tufnell, to think that he is actually coming here to work for us.
Mavis, calm down.
Oh, I can't. I've not been so excited since the staff Christmas party when me paper hat and me motto got pinched by the Niffman.
All right, Janet, if you're so crazy about seeing Brick Stanton, I'll arrange for you to be in the studio as script girl.
Oh, darling, how delicious. You know what I'll do? I shall snip off some of his buttons, and then tomorrow night I'll sleep with them under my pillow.
My grey flannels need pressing. How about putting them under the mattress?
Well, no, darling, people might talk.
Miss Tufnell, Janet's wangled herself into the studio as script girl. Do you think I could be there when Brick's filming?
Well, let's see. Perhaps you could swap with one of the makeup girls.
Well, there's my friend Marilyn, who's in makeup. You see, I'm sure she'd love to take my place in the typing pool, except that she can't type.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. In our typing pool, no one's likely to notice a little thing like that.
Oh, good. Well, I'll go and fix it. I've got to go and see Marilyn anyway about my holiday.
Michael, about the script of this Manspray commercial. I thought we might shoot it in a film studio. Brick Stanton is sitting in one of these chairs with his name in big letters across the back. That should impress him.
Well, if he could read. But what were you thinking of having him say?
Well, I haven't quite got to that yet. Something about Manspray preventing thin hair.
What about, use Manspray and give your comb something to get its teeth into?
Yes, so how about doing one of those crazy adverts? Manspray grows hair, it comes up with a rush. Spill some on your comb, it will turn to a brush.
No, somehow I don't think Maggie would like that.
I don't know why we just didn't hire a hearth rug or a house-trained yeti. They have beautiful long hair.
Matter of fact, Adrian, I'm not altogether sure we haven't.
I say, I've just thought of a lovely slogan. How about this? It can't be snow, it could be colder, it's merely dandruff on your shoulder.
No.
I say, Paddy, are you all lined up shooting the Manspray commercial? Well, stand by. I hope to go ahead in about 5 minutes.
Here are the scripts, Maggie. I've done all the corrections.
Good. Seen anything of Mavis?
She was rushing around in an overall, brandishing an outsized powder puff. And when Brick arrived, she took one look and measured her length on the floor.
I hope she landed on her powder puff. Now, where's Brick Stanton and his entourage?
In the dressing room with Michael and Adrian. They shouldn't be long.
Right, well, I think you'll find everything you want in this dressing room. There's a divan and a shower through that door.
Now, we must hurry. Can I take your coat, Mr. Stanton?
Sure.
And your hat?
Sure.
Good grief, he's bald. Adrian, do you see what I see? He's as bald as a billiard ball.
You're not kidding. He makes Yul Brynner look like Tommy Steele.
Mr. Dimitrov, why didn't you tell me this before? How can he advertise hair cream when he's stark raving bald?
Please, you make it sound indecent.
But I mean, look.
Relax, boy. He's got plenty of hair.
Where?
Right here in this case.
Well, why isn't it on his head?
Well, it will be in a minute. This boy's done 50 Hollywood first features, wearing a hairpiece. No one complained before. Now, which wig do you prefer? This is the Windswept. This is the Jeff Chandler. This is the Perry Como. This is the Roman. This one he wore when he played Samson, before Delilah got to him, of course.
But, Mr. Dimitrov, you don't understand.
I say, no one must seem like this. Quick, slap a wig on him.
Well, which one?
The one in your hand. That'll do.
Hey!
There. How does he look?
Charming. Just like my little daughter. Only she wears her pigtail at the back.
Makeup here. Any noses what require powdering?
Hi.
Oh, I say, your hair. Is it meant to be like that?
No, it's back to front.
Oh, you poor soul. You must have turned round too quickly.
Maggie, is Mr. Stanton nearly ready?
Oh, gosh, it's Maggie. Oh, there'll be ructions.
Certainly will if she twigs about the wigs.
Can I come in?
Just a minute. Brick, quick, go and take a shower. Go on.
Oh, quit pushing. Oh, darn it.
Oh, Mr. Stanton, you've lost your hair. Oh, it must be the sudden shock.
Now, come on, old boy. Into the shower. You'll enjoy it. Freshen you up. I'll draw the curtain back.
But I still got my clothes on.
Come in, Maggie.
Well, in about time. Where's Mr. Stanton?
He's taking a shower.
I can't hear anything. Oh, then tell him to hurry on out. I'm waiting to start on the film.
Could I say, old girl, he can't come out when ladies are present?
Oh, you needn't worry. He's fully dressed.
Taking a shower fully dressed?
Yes, the water's cold.
I think someone's trying to hide something from me.
We are. I mean, we are.
Mr. Stanton! Come on!
They didn't give me no umbrella.
Mr. Stanton, where is your hair?
It falled off.
Well, I've heard of falling hair, but this is ridiculous. When did this catastrophe occur?
Well, just now. He had a pigtail at front from turning round too quickly, and the shock was too much for him.
Mr. Stanton, you're an imposter.
Ah, stop squawking. We wasted enough time. Let's knock off the film, take the money, and blow.
Mr. Dimitrov, I appreciate your artistic approach, but I don't think we'd better continue. The deal's off.
Hey, we got a contract for £5,000, English money.
Be reasonable. In the circumstances, that contract doesn't hold water.
Oh, he's right. It was in my pocket in the shower. Got soaked through.
Well, I insist we stick to the contract.
Oh, well, excuse us for a few minutes. Michael, I want to have a word with you outside. And you, Adrian.
Mr. Stanton, would you like to dry yourself on my powder puff?
And you, Mavis.
Yes, Miss Tufnell.
Well, we won't be long, gentlemen. Make yourselves at home. There's beer in the cupboard.
Thanks.
No, just half a pint.
Come on, we must find a loophole in that contract. Who's got our copy?
Janet.
Well, anyway, I'll never forgive you for this, Michael. We could have had Eugene Campari. But no, you had to hire that hairless hunk.
Oh, Maggie, don't fuss. So many prominent men wear wigs these days.
I shall never understand why you didn't notice when you took him out to lunch.
He kept his hat on.
Oh, aren't you the limit? He kept his hat on all through lunch, and you didn't think it the slightest bit unusual.
Well, Americans always do. They only take their hats off in elevators.
Now, do stop bickering. I'm trying to concentrate on this contract. Clause 58. Listen to this. The artiste shall at all times appear with or without such makeup, wigs, and or appendages as the film director shall deem necessary. Refusal to do so shall render the contract null and void.
That's it!
What do you mean? He's perfectly willing to wear his wig and or appendage and whatever it is.
Yes, but we could insist on him making the film without a wig. He daren't appear bald-headed. The publicity would ruin him.
That's it. Good work, Adrian. You've got brains.
Well, I'm not just a pretty face.
So you see, Mr. Dimitrov, we're quite within our rights to have Brick Stanton appear with his head in the nude saying, this is what happened to me because I didn't use manspray.
Without his hair? He can't appear without his hair.
Well, we think he looks nicer without. You can see more of him.
Oh, thanks.
Do you want him to be a laughingstock?
I'm sorry, but we must insist on Clause 58.
All right. You win, Mr. Lightfoot. We quit.
Well, perhaps we can use Mr. Stanton's head another time when we're making an ad on, floor polish.
Ah, don't rub it in.
You don't have to. It's a spray-on like the hair cream.
Oh. Come on, Brick.
Okay.
It was a mistake sending these Britishers our quiz games. They're getting too smart.
Hooray! They've not had so much trouble with us since the Boston Tea Party.
Well, you ought to know, darling. I mean, you passed round the cake.
Darling, at a time like this, even you couldn't upset me. Now, Michael, about the manspray commercial. Shall I phone his management and book you Shane Campari?
Okay, Maggie, you win. Fix the studio for a week today.
This is your dressing room, Mr. Campari. Mr. Lightfoot's waiting for you inside. Michael, this is Mr. Campari and his manager, Mr. Gimble.
Oh, how do you do? Well, we're all ready to start when you are. Can I take your coat?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Your hat?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, no!
Mr. Gimble, where is Mr. Campari's hair?
Don't worry, dear. Got here in this music case a lovely assortment. Wild flowing locks for Tchaikovsky. Or what about a neat, sweet hairpiece for Mozart?
It's something to shout, it's something to shout. We can really guarantee it's something, something to shout.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, Brick Stanton by Bill Pertwee, Mr. Dimitrov and Other Unlikely Characters by Warren Mitchell and Other Unlikely People. The Jingle Bells and the Bernie Fenton Quartet were under the direction of Cliff Adams. The script was written by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, who contained no artificial preservative and who were both in perfect condition when they left the factory, to which we all hope that they'll shortly return. The programme was recorded and produced by Trafford Whitelock, who's been caught out so often that he's known as Old Trafford. By the way, to those of you who had trouble in keeping your hair on tonight, may I recommend an excellent booklet? It's called How to Take Care of Your Scalp by Big Chief Sitting Target.